Well, we're back to chapter 5 in Judges and to this lady, Deborah. I think wives will agree today that behind every good man is a good woman. In this biblical history, Deborah was behind her man, Barak. Now, let's be careful. Barak was not her husband. She was the wife of a man called Lapidoth. But he's a silent player. We don't hear much about him. He's the Dennis Thatcher of the chapter. And Deborah is the commanding figure of this passage. Now, Barak, he is the chief commanding officer of the army. And in Sunday school this morning, I was trying to learn how to say the name Barak. You should pronounce it as if it were B-A-R-A-A-A-C-H, with that guttural Barak. That's how they would say it in Israel even today. Now, in this former chapter, chapter 4, you have one of the great battles of Israelite history. And it's a story that should stir every heart, every believer. It is the story of tremendous triumph against impossible odds. And Deborah, after this victory, she comes with her song. Now, her name means bee or honey bee. Matthew Henry warns us of her, though, that like a bee, that Deborah is sweet to her friends, but severe on her enemies. And you learn that about her right here in this passage. Now, everyone's in love with a bee when it's buzzing happily. Everyone is enjoying the sweetness of the honey. But when that bee turns to be your foe, beware, beware. Now, as her name dictates, she was a woman of action. She was certainly a doer. And it says here in chapter 5, verse 7, that the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. And boy, did she ever. And the energy, the zeal for the glory of God that is in Deborah's life is certainly a model for every believer and, as a mother in Israel, for every Christian mother. She was stirred up for the good of Israel. These were difficult days under the Canaanites. Oppression. There was tyranny on all sides. There was great difficulty for Israel. Now, Deborah is one of the few women in the Bible that commands such a position and indeed such honor. And she comes giving all her praise to the Lord. And she's an example for each and every Christian woman here today. We could say that we need a whole hive full of Deborahs. We could do with a whole church of Deborahs, and we would be blessed indeed. So I think there's much here for us as we would turn to Deborah as a role model for motherhood, as a role mother, a role model for every woman in our congregation that we might learn from her. And I pray there will be lessons, encouragements, and guidance for each one as we come to look at this woman, Deborah. And I've gleaned from this song and from this history of Deborah six marks of the Christian woman. We're going to update this from Israel and that day, pre-David's time, right up to the modern Christian woman. That's you. Living here in Canada, seeking to glorify the Lord in your role as a wife, a mother, as an example to younger believers and those that are watching you. What kind of woman are you? And what is your work for the Lord? And what are you doing that you might be a part of His kingdom work? And so we look at Deborah here and we learn and we trust we'll get through these six things. Firstly, in chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, you'll notice that she cared. She cared. Let's look at verse 6, it says there about the highways were unoccupied, the travelers walked through byways, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. Normal life had ended in Israel. Normal social life, normal trading life, and normal family life was rendered impossible because of the oppression of a foreign people, the Canaanites, right in their midst. And here was Deborah. She was burdened by the state of things that was all around her. She was troubled in heart. And for this reason, she arose a mother in Israel with that natural bent to seek the welfare of families and the people of Israel. She sought to do something for God. Now, I see that natural bent in every mother, and it's something that really is a gift from God. And your role of caring begins when baby one is born into the family. You will never stop caring as a mother for that little infant. And no matter how many birthdays you celebrate with that child until they become man or woman, and indeed beyond that, you will never stop that spirit of caring. Now, while a mother's caring spirit is natural, and it's a God-given, natural, motherly nature, it still needs to be exercised. It needs to be worked on. Because you are not just a mother, you're a Christian mother. You have been given a special task above all women, that you might glorify God in your marriage, in your family, with that gift of caring, and use it not just for comfort's sake, but for God's glory. And that surely was in Deborah's heart. Now, the Christian woman then is to be a paragon of caring. Now, you know that sin renders so many homes and families dysfunctional. There are so many dysfunctional homes in this country. And when you get on the inside, you begin to realize there are homes that are just chaos. They're a disaster. And sometimes it's through drug addictions, alcohol addiction, or it could be through vice and unclean living. When the devil gets a grip of a person's life and it just falls apart, it's a mess. Sometimes it's because someone's addicted to watching television from morning to night. Can that be a Christian home? Sometimes it's card playing or those bridge gossiping circles. And women just spend their days and they spend their time wasting and nothing there to glorify God. Now, the Christian woman, and I'm making a distinction, you've got to realize that if you profess faith in the Lord Jesus and you're saying you're a Christian mother, you're a Christian wife, your goal, your burden will far exceed and excel the woman next door that doesn't know the Lord and lives for this world. Your role is exceedingly higher. Now, I have 5 ways. Now, I know this is point 1 of 6 things we're looking at, and I've got 5 things under point 1, so bear with me. But mothers, you're worth it. You're worth this time. You're worth this example that we're going to look at here. And I want you to turn to Titus chapter 2 and verse 5. Titus 2 and verse 5. And by simply reading this verse and some of the surrounding verses, we're going to see these 5 things that will mark the Christian woman above others. Firstly, she is to be discreet. Discreet. Titus 2 verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And these five things, we want to look at them. The first one is that she is discreet. And that means that she cares about the good name of her home, the good name of her husband, and of others that look to her for help and for leadership. Really, this being discreet is to keep the ninth commandment in a positive way. Now, I know the ninth commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. You can't tell lies about your neighbor. But to be discreet is to be going the second mile and guard the name, the testimony, the public image of your family, your home, your friends, and yes, we'll bring it into your brothers and sisters in the church. To be discreet. And that means you care. If you really care, if you care, you will be discreet to guard that name. Then there's chastity. It mentions here to be discreet, chaste. She cares, therefore, about the reputation of her home and family. Now, let's not go right to the sewers of, you know, adultery and vice and awful sins. To be chaste means what you watch on television, what you read in the newspaper, what you talk about, or what kind of jokes you might even laugh at. To be chaste, to be careful, guarding your mind and heart against those things that destroy the mind and heart. And here is this spirit of the Christian woman. These things matter to her. These things need to be in their proper place and guarded because she cares. Thirdly, keepers at home. It mentions here discreet, chaste, keepers at home. She cares for the good order and the function of the home. A home that is well run, a home that is pleasant, a home that is efficient in the sense that there's some order of meal time and meal preparation, that everyone is not really out of shape on what they're supposed to be doing. And a mother has a vast task in running a home. But she will do it with all her energy and all her wisdom because she cares. She wants it to be a happy home. She wants it to be a godly home. She wants it to be a home that honors the Lord, where if even the Lord himself were to visit, she would say, welcome, Lord, and come dine with us. And he is to be the secret companion at every and of every mealtime and conversation. A Christian mother will never say, I don't care for these things. Now, some people think that being a good housekeeper is just a matter of old pride. Full of pride. Doing things for show. Well, guard against it, certainly. But let me tell you, being a mother, a wife, who runs the home in an orderly, clean, godly fashion, in order, is not a matter of pride. It's Christian. It's biblical. It's right. And you've got to be yearning that you build a home where these things are in place. The next one is obedient to our own husband. It mentions here that the obedient to their own husbands. Now, Lapidoth would have liked that, wouldn't he? Lapidoth would have been quite happy with Deborah caring for her own husband. And let me let you into a secret. Every husband likes it. Every husband likes it. Every husband is a blessed man when his wife will obey this injunction right here in Titus 2, verse 5. Obedient to their own husbands. There's a loyalty there. There's a deep loyalty of genuine love and trust that brings honor. She is a Proverbs 31 wife, virtuous. Now, the word virtuous, by the way, means active duty. active duty. Like the honeybee. Back to Deborah again. The one who is that busy bee, industrious, endeavoring to do things well. Now, this is a spiritual thing, a spiritual thing. It's amazing. When you walk into a home where the world rules, where the television and the ungodliness of Hollywood seems to rule in that home, it's a mess. I've seen it over and over and over and over. Not my pastoral visitation, my congregation, but I've seen it in door-to-door outreach. I've seen it over and over and over. It's a sad, sad sight. If someone walks in your door, you need to be that wife that is glorifying God in busyness. Your Christianity should make you a much better mother, a much better housewife, a much better family member in every one of these areas. Two things I'll point out, time and treasure. Every Christian woman values her time. She values what she does with every hour of the day. The worldly woman, well, they just want to minimize the necessities and get to the worldly things. But the Christian woman manages her time, governs her home, and manages time. The other thing she manages is her treasure. Every dollar that's earned, and whether she has a part in the earning of it, or it's her husband that brings home those earned dollars, she recognizes that they're hard-earned. And they're after tax money, too. And every dollar needs to count. And it's amazing how in a dysfunctional worldly home, how money just blows. It just blows. But the godly wife will become a good manager of her money. You read Proverbs 31 again, and you'll get certainly the message of that right there. Now, that's number one. She cares. She guides. She guides. Look at chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5. Here is Deborah's history and her testimony. And you'll notice that she was a prophetess. She became a judge in Israel. And in that way, she dwelt under the palm tree called Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Here is her wisdom. Here is the reason why they come. And they come voluntarily. They come with all their hearts. And they come asking for counsel from Deborah. There is no greater honor than for the younger to come asking you for guidance. And it has to happen in your own home. That's what you want to happen among your own children. Whether they're little tots and they want to know, which toy am I going to play with today? Or when they're teenagers, Mom, how am I going to make this decision? Or when it's marriage, how do I know the right person to marry? And when they come to you with those questions, that is your honored role. And then you need the mind of the Lord to be a guide. Now back to Titus 2, you'll notice that this is a part of the role of women. In Titus 2, an earlier verse than we've just looked at, and you'll see in Titus 2, verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober. The word sober there means wise. You'll see that in the margin. Now, my punchline is this. You can't get to verse 4 until you fulfill verse 3. Until you are that woman that becometh holiness, not a false accuser, not given to much wine, a teacher of good things. When you do those things, then you become a teacher of the young women, that they may be wise. Now you'll notice in verse 4, to love their husbands and to love their children. I recognize in the pastoral ministry that a pastor has to say things that really are the obvious. And it would seem to me to a strange thing that two people that have walked down the aisle and they have taken vows of matrimony to love one another until the day they die, that they have to be told from the Bible to love one another. But I've been there across the desk where I've had to say, it's time that you started loving your wife, or wife loving your husband. And then the Bible says, love your children. Well, that's stating the obvious. What mother doesn't love their children? Well, let me give you a scenario. There are parents who are idealists, and they get a little child, and that child, if it's a girl, it's their little doll. If it's a boy, it's their little man that's just going to be like daddy one day. That's the ideal dream of young parents. I don't want to burst the bubble. It's joyful. It's God's gift. It's wonderful. And we all have those hopes and dreams. But one day that little girl, that little boy may grow up to hate you and rebel against you and refuse the correction that you give and turn very nasty. That's hard. And the hopes and the blessings that you sought from your children, instead of being blessings, they become crosses. Very heavy, discouraging burdens. And they're real. And you can't run from it. And then you need grace to love your children. You need grace to bear the follies, the sins, the need for correction in your own children. And it doesn't happen overnight. And it can become a long, arduous process to be a Deborah, to be a true guide and a loving, directing, correcting parent in love, in Christ, pointing to the cross, pointing the way of God's mercy and long-suffering. That takes grace. And that's why you have it in the Bible. Teach young women to love their husbands, to love their children. And God does answer prayer, and God does change hearts, and God does give maturity to teenagers. Huh? We think it's a long way of coming, but He does give it. And there'll come a day when you'll be glad that you bore through the hardship and you guided where you could. And you just wait for the hour, the opportunity when that child comes. Well, Mom, I blew it and I made a mess of it. I need your help. And you got to be there. And you need to be that solid rock. You need to be that guide and counselor in that hour of need. That's the Christian mother and father. The third thing I notice about Deborah is that she inspired. If you look at chapter 4, verse 6, she had the word from the Lord, and she is the one that said to Barak, she said to him, here is God's word. And she goes to him and she stirs him up that he will go out into battle. In chapter 4:14, you will see again her inspiring words. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Now, be careful, she's not his wife. She is the prophetess. She has the voice of the Lord. And she's speaking to this commander-in-chief of the armies of Israel. And she says to him, up, Barak. And she points out God's message and God's providence in bringing Sisera into the very hand of Israel. What a message it was. And what a wonderful message it was. And what a victory that she was now going to inspire in the heart of Barak. And you know, every woman, every mother needs to have that inspiring attitude. Now, we're all careful. Deborah was really inspired with revelation from God. We are not today. We have a completed Bible. We have all the revelation in the written word that we need. But we do need to have a Christianity that is inspiring. It is motivating. It's uplifting. It's encouraging. Now, ladies, let us think about how you can inspire your family, your husband, your children. Well, let's begin with family devotions. Be the reminder in busy households. Be the one that marks it on the calendar for the day, family devotions. Now, hopefully the husband will lead that. I'm thankful to the many times Beulah reminded me. You know, you can be on the phone, you can be out in the garage, you can try and be multitasking, doing all kinds of things, and you just need that reminder. Switch off the television and spend a little family time in the Bible. You can inspire by being a reminder of that. Then in church commitment, you can be the one that inspires commitment in church life. Now, in the Free Presbyterian Church, ladies, you will never become an elder or a deacon. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can do many things. But somewhere behind every good man is a good woman. And men could never be elders, deacons, ministers or missionaries or evangelists if their wife was not behind them. It just wouldn't work. And you read Paul's criteria for an elder and deacon, and you'll find references to their wives. They need to have that godly characteristic. One little practical pointer I would say, ladies, is that you should use Saturday as your preparation day for Sunday. Going to church doesn't just happen. It has to be planned. You have to say on a Saturday morning, hey, this is Saturday. We've got a few things to get done so that we can get to church tomorrow. That becomes the inspiring attitude of the Christian woman. Then in prayer, you can be an inspiration as well. Pray alone. Call your husband to pray. If he's not present, you can lead in prayer. Enter into prayer with your family. Be an inspiration. And then by encouraging. Just words of appreciation, words of thankfulness. Now, it's easy to encourage your husband or your children when they do nice things for you. And I suppose on Mother's Day, every mother expects some nice things. But there are difficult things that your husband does often and maybe every day. After all, his work may be very taxing, very demanding. It may be sheer gut-wrenching stress to keep that job that he may pay the bills and provide in the home. Wife, you need to appreciate that. And maybe you have a part in paying the bills as well. And therefore, all the more will appreciate what it takes to keep that job. And then be an encourager even when your husband feels he's a failure. When you read the story of Barak, that he was a bit of a wimp. He wasn't the strongest minded man that you would meet. He wasn't a Gideon. And if it wasn't for Deborah, I don't think he would have done the things that he did. Pretty tough when a husband comes home and he has to tell his wife, I lost my job today. Well, why? Well, what kind of a manager do you have? Well, it was my fault. My fault. I blew it. I made a serious mistake. There's no recovery. It's gone. Or maybe you get injured on the job and you can't get back to that job again. And you feel a failure. That's when you need the words of inspiration. That's when you need a wife that will be a Deborah to inspire and to help, to guide. And remember that your husband is king. You might be the queen bee, but he's king. And he needs a queen bee to encourage, to help, to strengthen. And he'll be a better man for all the backing that you give him. Behind every good man is a good woman. And we as men have to be very thankful for that. Fourthly, she accompanied whenever Barak was going off to this battle, Mount Tabor, and then down into the valley to meet Sisera. He was timid and fearful, and he said to Deborah, well, if you go up, I'll go up. You look at that in verse 8, and Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go, but if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. That's why I say Barak was a bit of a wimp. He needed some accompaniment. And there was Deborah in verse 9. She said, I will surely go with thee. Now that's chapter 4 I'm looking at. I will surely go with thee. Oh, what an encouraging word that was to him. I will surely go with thee. Wives, your gift, your role is accompaniment. And your husband and may be in the front line, but he needs you. Can you put a dollar figure on the value of a wife that will go up? And she keeps her word. She keeps her word. How despicable is the woman that says she'll go up and doesn't do it? She doesn't keep her word. How difficult that would be. One of the things I noted when I read Proverbs 31, the mark of a virtuous woman, her husband trusteth in her. Trust. That golden quality that is the basis of marriage and every true relationship, trust. And Deborah was a woman who proved that Barak could trust her. And when he went up to battle, she was there. She was there. The word helpmeet that's used in the Bible, it means counterpart. It means the parallel, the better half, we would say. And every husband needs that accompaniment, that support, and companionship of his wife. What a wonderful arrangement from the Lord. What a wonderful gift. There's no one that knows a husband better than his own wife. There's no one that knows his fears and his strengths and his weaknesses. There's no one that knows all his needs and cares than his own wife. And if he has her support, her honest, true companionship, he can do great things for God. He can serve God. The fifth thing is that she praised. And I don't need to preach this one. Just read chapter 5 and her song. And what a song it is. She praised. She praised the Lord. Ladies, please don't lose your song. There's nothing that thrills the heart of a husband more than to hear his own wife singing, even humming a tune. Just to know that in her role and task in life, she's got the joy of the Lord. That's a ministry. That's a ministry that you have in your home. Many mothers, they sing to their children when they're little infants, but never stop singing. Never stop singing. And in the church, come and sing, that your praises be known. Now, I read that last verse, verse 12. The last verse I read was verse 12 in chapter 5. And I wanted to get to that verse because you'll notice that Deborah really stirred herself up to this singing ministry. It says there that, awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. Here she is, she's stirring herself up to sing. Mothers, are you doing that? To have a happy home? To have a happy relationship? Well, firstly, with the Lord. Now, when you come to church, don't be exercising what you might think is a reverse modesty and say, well, I don't want to be the song leader of church. I'll just sing silently, reservedly. Ladies, we need to hear you sing. I mean, really sing. Awake! Awake! Don't come to church half asleep. Don't pretend that you have a sleepy faith in the Lord of glory, the one that you love. Come and sing. Come and sing. Give the Lord all the praise. And those things that you can praise Him for, oh, what wonderful things. I don't have time to look at all the things that you can praise the Lord for. You think you have problems? Did you know that there are millions of people in the world and they live on $1 a day? $1 a day. And we think that we have struggles to manage the budget of the home, get through. And the Lord promises to care for us. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. In old age, He'll be with us. In all our needs, He'll care for us. The last thing I note about Deborah is that she honored others. She honored Barak. She honored in her song Jeel, Jeel with the Neil, she mentions him. She honors certain tribes that went up with them to battle. But beware of Deborah's sting. There were a few tribes that didn't go to battle, and she berated them. Right in this song, chapter 5. Where were you when we were going to battle? This was a very perceptive woman, very ready to point out the failures of others. Deborah certainly lived up to her name, B. I wonder, do you live up to the name of being a Christian? Changes everything, doesn't it? Once you profess faith in Christ, as a woman, a mother, a wife, once you profess saying, I'm a Christian, changes everything. Changes how you do things and why you do things. You want to be a Christian mother to your children. You want to raise them in godliness. You want them to walk in your footsteps, and you want your footsteps to lead them the way of the cross, not the way of destruction. And of course, today you can count your many blessings, and you'll find every reason why you should sing. I believe, I'm convinced, God doesn't want you to be a murmuring wife, but a singing, praising, honoring, thankful wife that truly exalts the Lord.